covered in Jesus' name. Amen. I see a lot of colors today. Tell your neighbor it's a colorful day. Amen. And that just shows how diverse we are and how united we are in Christ. Amen. So today, this year we didn't get a good opportunity to celebrate our cultural heritage. But I think it's good that you are dressed for it. And also, if time permits, toward the end, we can give some of you who just want to tell us what the dress you are wearing means or represent from your culture. We may give just a few minutes, depending on how everything goes. But we've got to start with the business of the day. Amen. Just tell your neighbor, I'm glad to see you in church today. Amen. So what I'm going to share today will link with what we are celebrating now, but also it's basically we are continuing with the subject that we started about people who know their God. So we're doing part two of people who know their God. And I want to start by just saying that people all over the world, they have their gods. You know that, isn't it? We're just singing now that all other gods are the works of man. God be exalted above all other gods. There's no other God like you. We lay our crowns. And by the way, do you know that some of our crowns is things that we dearly hold on to? It might be your status, but it might even be your cultural heritage. There are some people who are very resistant to let go of their cultural heritage, even if it's contrary to what God says. So when we say we lay our crowns and worship you, we are saying only you are Lord. So it means we cannot be subservient to our cultures. You know that there are people who say, we are Africans. We believe in ancestors. It's our cultural heritage. So you need to tell them, we lay our crowns and worship you. Because the song says all other gods are the works of men. But you, O Lord, are the Most High God. Unfortunately, sometimes we mix our cultural heritage with religion. You know, there are certain tribes, you know, you assume when you see certain people that they are Muslims, isn't it? Because of their culture and their religion being linked. So I see that also in Africa, there are some people who are very resistant to let go of their culture, even where it's contrary to what God's word says. Jesus said, you make the word of God of no effect because of holding on to your traditions. And by the way, most of the things that we think are new, they are not new. So I want us to go to the book of Acts chapter 17. And I want to paint a picture for you. It's like the South African context today, where you find we've got so many religions, people believing in different things and all that. So if we are going to talk about our God, we are going to talk about our God amidst all other gods. You get that? So when we talk about people who know their God, you can only share about your God when you know your God. Otherwise, you will be confused when you go to other people and they have their gods and they ask you, why do you want me to follow your God when I have my God? Amen? And they will tell you, you must respect the freedom of religion. That's what I believe in. So now, who's the real God? Acts chapter 17, verse 16 to 31. I'll do it in the NIV. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So if you think that the things of idols and worshiping various gods is starting with you in Africa, you are misled. So Paul was in Athens and he could see these various gods that the city was full of, representing all the cultural and tribes that were there, believing in their gods. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. So I like it that when we talk culture, you see now there are even philosophers here. And some of you, you are philosophers and you think you are the first philosopher. No. You see that, isn't it? There were philosophers even during Paul's time. So he says he was reasoning with those Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, began to debate with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? You know that sometimes when you want to share about Christ, you are seen to be a foolish person amongst the wise. So they say, we are philosophers. What is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. Did you see that? Yeah. So the things that you guys are talking about here in South Africa, some of us were there already with this. We knew this. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So sometimes when you want to share about Christ, people will think you are bringing foreign things. Some of you will even be told, you're bringing the religion of the whites to us. So tell them, you're not the first one. So here these philosophers are reasoning with them and say, oh, you seem to be bringing things about foreign gods, but he was preaching about Jesus, the resurrected one. And then, which verse were we in? 19. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean. So imagine you want to start talking about Christ, and they say, okay, we're giving you a platform, tell us. You better know your God. Tell your neighbor, you better know your God. 21, all the Athenians and foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. So if I was addressing to people of South Africa, with all their various cultural heritage, I would say, I see in every way that you are very religious. I see you hold on to certain beliefs. For I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an inscription of the altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. You see how they had so many gods? They even had, so they realized with their gods, it seems it's not enough. Okay? So they had this other altar that was inscribed to an unknown God. When we grew up, I know when our grannies used to worship their ancestors, they will end up by saying, even to you, the God we don't know. You've heard that, isn't it? So tell them, you are scriptural. Paul talked about you. I want to talk to you about that unknown God. So it means if your granny is worshiping, and after doing her ancestral worship, she says, and to you, the unknown God. You say, granny, let's go to Acts 17. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. So he says, I want to tell you about this God that you say is unknown, because I know him. That's why you need to know your God. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. So, you know the song, all other gods, they are the works of men. The problem with these other gods, you know most of the gods that people worship, either you have made the God yourself, you carve something and you call it your God. So definitely you should be greater than that God because you carved it. Yeah. And some of us, when we grew up, a goat would be called, it's your granny, it's the God of the family. And ultimately, the other time when, after some time, you eat gogo. So you can see that people are confused, isn't it? Yeah. So, where are we? 24. Let's go 25. He is not saved by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. So he's saying this God is different from all other gods. Other gods are works of men. Other gods are dependent on men. Mr. Majamba, are you here? The other time you shared with me that thing where, I think in another country, there were floods. And then people were holding their gods so that the gods mustn't. So trying to save their gods from floods. So you can see that all other gods are works of men. But we serve the mighty God. Tell your neighbor, I serve the mighty God. Amen. Amen. So it means don't allow even your culture to deny you the opportunity of serving the real, true God. Verse 26. Now we talk culture. From one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. Tell your neighbor, we come from one man, Adam. Even those Asians, even those Europeans, even those whatever. Okay? Even the Khoisans, even all of you. We come from one man, Adam. Now, what do you say about that, Paul, that we come from one man? He says that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and boundaries of their lands. Tell your neighbor, Africa has been earmarked for Africans. That's why it's called Africa. Amen? Yeah, it's the boundaries that have been earmarked. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us. God is not far from any one of us, unlike those gods that people worship. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. You see, he was trying to show them the folly of worshiping your idols. So I hope there's nobody here who worships idols, isn't it? You say, no, it's our cultural heritage. So if you were doing it, you didn't know Acts 17. So now you know. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands every people everywhere to repent. So in other words, God overlooks the time of our ignorance when we did not know him and we wanted to go our ways. But now he commands everyone everywhere to repent. Verse 31. This is the crunch of it. So, because people can say, leave me with my own religion. It's my own religion. Respect my religion. Unfortunately, there is verse 31. So, after all is said and done, God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof that to everyone by raising him from the dead. So, unfortunately, judgment is coming. So you can hold on to your religion, that's fine. But since you were created by God, you've got to account to God, not to your religion. And he has appointed a day when he will judge the world with justice through Christ. So that's why some of us, we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I'm an African, but I'm saved. I'm born again. I do not take Christianity to be a religion of the whites. Because if it's the religion of the whites, how many whites don't believe in Christ? So, it's not about the religion of so-and-so and the religion of so-and-so. And Paul is putting it very clear. He says, it's because this God is not known to some of you. So that's why we have a responsibility as children of God to share about Christ. And if they tell you you are bringing foreign ideas, foreign thoughts, tell them, for God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice through Christ. So we need to be identified in Christ with all our cultural heritage and cultural differences, but we need to be identified in Christ. Now, this thing of worshiping various gods and all that started long ago. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. I want to show you now that if you know your God, you can talk for your God with confidence. But if you don't know your God, people will tell you, what makes you think that your religion is better than mine? And you realize, indeed, you have nothing to show. And you will see in the scripture that I'm going to read here. I was blessed when I read this. You see, when the Holy Spirit is revealing things, you start seeing things that you didn't see before. You read a certain scripture, and there are things you don't understand. But all of a sudden, something just drops in your spirit. And you start seeing things that were there all along, but you didn't see them. So let's look at it together. 1 Kings chapter 18, 19 to 39 NIV. Now, so it was the time when Elijah was fighting with Ahab. King Ahab was so wicked. His other wife was Jezebel. So you guys know about Jezebel, the wicked woman. So because of all those bad things, then Israel was in famine. And then Ahab was blaming Elijah for proclaiming that there will be no rain for 3.5 years unless I speak. And Elijah was blaming Ahab that the drought is because of your sins and your disobedience to God. So they were blaming each other. Now, look at this. Now, Elijah speaking to the king. Now, summon the people from all over Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So he wanted to challenge them. So there were those who worshipped Baal. There were those who worshipped Asherah. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver? It's like now in South Africa and everywhere else. People are divided among many religions, isn't it? So now Elijah says, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Now, I want you to look at something that's very interesting. I only saw it this week when I was meditating. But the people said nothing. So in other words, if you just say, if God is God, if Baal is, you haven't helped us yet. We're still as confused as we started. Because still, how do we know if Baal is the real God or God is the real God? Huh? Because, I mean, here he says to them, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. And people said, you haven't made us any wiser. So they said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other and put it on the wood, but not set fire on it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Now, listen to what people do now. Then all the people said, what you say is good. It's fair. Amen. The first time we couldn't answer you. So I saw this thing and I thought, oh, okay. The first time people said nothing. Because he was just in the same scenario that we are in now. Where you are just saying, but I think God is God. The other one says, no, Allah is God. The other one says, no, our ancestors are gods. So you haven't made us any wiser, Elijah. Then he said, the God who answers by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, that's fair. Isn't it? In other words, we're not going to respect your Christ because you say Christ is the living God. Let him show himself. That's basically what these people were saying. Because we've got Baal, we've got Asherah, we've got our gods. And now you're telling us the living God is the real God. How does he differ from the other gods? So that's why when he said, the God who answers, that is God. So can you ask your neighbor, does your God answer you? Amen. My God answers prayers. My God hears me when I pray. My God answers my prayers. When I pray for sick people, they get healed. When I pray for a service like this, something happens in it because God answers my prayers. Amen. So people said, it's fair. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. The way that Elijah was so confident of his God, okay? He didn't think, if I let these guys go first and there's fire, game over. So he also knew that nothing will happen there. That's why he gave them the first of opportunity. Okay? And he knew it won't be game over. So he says, choose the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Baal! It seems Mr. MJ is good at these things than me. Mr. MJ, just call like them now.
Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Baal, answer us! They shouted.
But there was no response. No one answered. Continue, Mr. MJ. It seems they even danced, thinking that it will help.
And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Hey, shout louder! He said, surely he is God. Hey, perhaps he is in deep thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response, and
okay,
no one answered.
So let me do that one. But there was no response. No one answered, and no one paid attention. Okay? So it means you can slash yourself, you can shout, you can dance. If your God is not the true God, there will be no response. Okay? So why waste your energy in worshiping a God who is not alive? Imagine a wood being called a God. Or something that people make with clay. They call it a God. That thing can't even hear. Actually, I think those goats, when our grannies were worshiping them, you just see the goat looking and almost like surprised, what's happening now? And then you are very much happy. Yeah, no, you know, our God is hearing us. And maybe that's better than a wood, because wood can't even look at you. Then Elijah said to the people, come to me. They came to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one of each, for each of the tribes, descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stone, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Okay, when you want to make fire, do you need water? That's the worst thing you can do. Okay? So, but just to make sure that these guys won't claim that, you know, all throughout the day it was too hot. Maybe the water just sparked because of the heat from the ground. He says, let's cool it down. Let's get the water. Make sure it's wet. He said, do it again. He said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. So I think I like the attitude of Elijah. Elijah, tell your neighbor, Elijah does not help God. He's making it very difficult. Because if at least it's late in the afternoon, it was hot. You know that if it's too hot, sometimes things spark some. So at least, you see, if it were some of us, would try and help God. Or mix some chemicals so that there could be fire. He says, if God is God, he must answer by fire. Yeah, I mean, God should be able to make fire even when it's wet. You know that even, I was telling you the other time when we grew up, there were this, what you guys call lightning. We used to call them Ndazi. It would hit even when the house was wet. And it would there would be fire. So if human beings can do that, why should God first want it to be dry for him to bring fire? So Elijah said, make it very wet. Third time. Then water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. Listen to this. I like this. I like it that when you are so confident of your God, by the way, now the scene is set. Okay? Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. I like how he used to speak. Even the time when he was calling the rain, he said, let it be known that you are God. Let it be known that I'm your servant. Let it be known that I've done these things at your command. So for me, it says, actually, he was guided by God to do this. Because I thought he just thought of it. Amen? He says, let it be known that you are God in Israel. Let it be known that I'm your servant. But let it also be known that I've done these things at your command. Tell your neighbor, if you do things at the commandment of the Lord, or at the command of the Lord, they will always happen. So if God prompts you something and you say a word, the Bible says even in the time of Joshua, none of the words that Joshua ever spoke ever fell to the ground. So he says, I've done this at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you, Lord, are God. And that you are turning their hearts back again. So in other words, if they can see the fire coming, they will know you are God, and then they will all come back to you. So he was in essence saying, God, this is a nice opportunity to win souls. Amen. So sometimes, by the way, you know that signs and wonders and miracles are a good selling tool for the gospel. So when we do outreaches, or when we've got crusades, lay hands on sick people recover, lame walk, deaf hear, and all that. It's an advert. But for you who are Christians, you can't live by miracles. You must live by faith. Amen? The just shall live by faith. But for people in the world, we advertise. Amen? We advertise the gospel through signs and wonders and miracles. Then when they are surprised, then they know he is God. Yeah, hey, the God who can do this. So he says here, actually, if this now come, you are now turning their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried. So, Mr. MJ.
The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.
You see now, did Elijah force them to say God is God? He demonstrated the power of God. Then they acknowledged the Lord is God. He can do something that Baal cannot do. Yeah. Amen. That's why Daniel 11:32, we read this one last week. But the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do exploits for God. So it means, beside me knowing God for myself, there are times when people who don't know God will want to see the power of my God. And then they will say, the Lord, He is God. And sometimes we also need, even when you are here, there are times when you would need the Lord to reveal Himself to you. Do you know that sometimes people will say, I know God. I asked you last week, there is a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. Isn't it? If you know about God, you've heard about Him, you are like the sons of Sceva. You remember the sons of Sceva? When they saw other people casting out devils in the book of Acts, they went and also wanted to cast out devils. They said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out. And then the demons knew that, no, this one is taking chances. They said, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? And then they beat them so much that they left the city naked. Because they were talking about the God they don't know. So even the demons knew that you're taking chances. So you better know your God. So that even when you command demons and you say, in the name of Jesus, come out, the demons have to respect you the same way they respected Paul. You know, the demons were saying, Paul we know. So it means if it was Paul who was commanding us, we would come out, but not with you. Paul we know, and Jesus we know, that we can submit to, but not you. Okay? So it means even after we come to the Lord and we've accepted Christ, we must get deeper in knowing our God. You remember Paul in the scripture I read with you in Philippians last week where he says, I want to know you more. I want to get deeper with you, Lord. I want to be so much soaked in you and in your presence that I will understand even your power. There are people who want to start exercising the power of God when they don't know God fully. Then they end up using that power to pull other people down, to pride themselves through that power. But if you know God first and intimately understand Him, then you can exercise the power that is in Him. Amen? So I'll take an example of the disciples of Jesus. They were walking with Jesus. Let's go John 14, 9 to 23, New King James Version. We can link it with Matthew 16, 13 to 18. Maybe, Mr. Mkosi, you can do for us Matthew 16, 13 to 18 in the New King James Version. And I want you to see that the people who were walking with Jesus once asked them, who do people say I am? And after that, he said, who do you say I am? Because maybe I'm walking with you here and you guys also don't know me. Okay? Yeah, like some of you don't even know your pastor. If people gossip about your pastor and say, no, he's such a terrible guy. I think so. It means you don't know me, isn't it? So they were walking with Jesus. He asked them, they gave the answer about what the world is saying. He also asked them, what about you? Read it for us. Matthew 16, 6, 13 to 18, New King James Version.
When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Why do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets."
Okay, so tell your neighbor, sometimes people will call you so many names and think you are somebody else. Tell them, they just don't know you. Continue.
He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon.
So I'm hearing what you say people are saying. Some says it's John, some says it's this, some says it's Elijah, some. Hey, people. And then he says, "But what about you?" Mm-hmm.
Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ."
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The Son of the Living God.
Okay. You are? No, he didn't say you are Christ.
The Christ.
You are the Christ. Okay? So, when you are saying you are the Christ, you are the anointed one with anointing. That word Christ, Christos, it means the anointed one with anointing. So, you are the anointed one with anointing. So, obviously, if I know him as the anointed one and there is a yoke of bondage in my life, I know he will break the yoke. Amen. Amen? By the way, some of you, when you say Jesus Christ, you think Christ is his surname. Tell your neighbor, Christ was not his surname. Amen. He was the Savior. He was the anointed one. Amen. So when Peter said this, let's hear Jesus' answer.
Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven."
Okay, I like this. It means people won't know you, but your God knows you. Amen.
Amen.
So when Peter says, "You are the Christ," because I don't know if maybe Peter had said, "You are Jesus," maybe Jesus would have just taken it like that. But when he said, "You are the Christ," Jesus realized, it's not what I told you. Nobody told you this. It has to be a revelation from my Father, because indeed I am the Christ. I am the anointed one with anointing. And the anointing destroys the yoke. So it means, instead of you sometimes just knowing your pastor as another man, you know, some people say, "Oh, how can I just listen to another man?" Then the anointing upon his life won't work for you. Because you are like people who used to take Christ. You know people who lived during the time of Christ. They missed it because they were saying, "He's just the son of a carpenter." Yeah. Who does he think he is? He's just the son of a carpenter. Now, you can't get a miracle from the son of a carpenter. Amen? So it means, if you know him as the Christ, I know him as the Christ. He's my healer. That's why when I pray, I say, "Lord, I thank you that you have anointed me to preach your word." In other words, I know I'm working under your anointing. And that anointing breaks the yoke. That anointing simplifies the word to his people. Because when you are sharing the word from your own mind and it's just you, it's different from when the Lord is using you to speak to his people. Amen. So we need to depend on the anointing. So he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God." And Peter said, "This has not been revealed to you by man, but my Father revealed it to you." So I'll go to John 14, 9 to 23, and NKJV. It was the time when people were also asking, and then Jesus realized, even my disciples don't know me well. Okay? So that's why It's very important to know your God very well, to know your Jesus, your Savior, very well. By the way, as you're going to John 14, 9 to 23, NKJV, do you remember that there was a time when the people of Israel were in Egypt? And God appeared to Moses, and he wanted him to go and deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians. And when he appeared to Moses, Moses said, when I go to them, if they ask me, what is your name? What must I say? Huh? He said to him, I am who I am. Is that an answer? I'm saying, they're saying, who are you? I am who I am. That's my name. How? God. Then later I realized, okay, that was actually the right answer. Because God is whatever you want him to be. So if he had said to them when he went to Egypt, he said, he is Jehovah, the deliverer, who wants to deliver you. So he's a man of war, mighty warrior, great in battle. And then they would be excited that he will deliver us. But when they came to the desert, you don't need a deliverer in the desert, you need a provider. Then there would be a problem, isn't it? Yeah. So that's why if you look at those seven redemptive names of Jehovah, he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. He is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord who is always there. He never leaves me nor forsake me. So it means whatever situation that I'm in, he is. Amen? So therefore, if you have to know God, you've got to know him personally. By the way, in the book of Exodus, I think it's 6 verse 3. Yeah, this is not part of the menu, but we go commercial with scriptures. Exodus 6 verse 3. I want to show you that when God reveals himself, you've got to know God for yourself and get deeper with him in all the aspects that God is. You cannot finish God. That's why you would find there are people who are so much developed in knowing God as their healer, but financially they're struggling. Or you find somebody knows God as their provider, they are well financially, but they are struggling with fear. They don't know him as their protector. Okay? Now look at this scripture in Exodus 6 verse 3. It says, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. God was talking to Moses. Okay, verse 2. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. You see how he introduced himself to Moses? He says, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah, I was not known to them. Did you see that? Exodus 6 verse 3. So God is saying, that part that you know me to be in your life, that's who I am. He says to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I revealed myself to them as God Almighty. I did not reveal myself to them as Jehovah. So they would not have known my Jehovah part. Amen. So that's why when you say Jehovah, Adonai, El Shaddai, whatever, there are no say names there. It's all his names. Displaying his attributes. You get that? So that's why now, I want you to look at John 14, 9 to 23, because even the people who walked with Jesus, there were times when Jesus was doubting if they knew him. Because they were saying, Philip and them, they were saying, show us the Father. Now, if you know me, then you know the Father, because the Father and I are one. So he said, Jesus said to them, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? Huh? So it's almost like Jesus asking when you are in church, have you been in church so long and a Christian and yet you don't know me? Huh? Because there are people who don't know the Lord. You might claim you have accepted the Lord in 1930. But we don't see anything that shows you know the Lord. So he says, have I been so long with you and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. You see, when you are a servant of God, you must always know that it is the Father working through you, doing his work. Then you will not be proud when the Lord uses you. Because you are just a vessel. God can use any vessel that is available. It doesn't make you any special. Amen? The other time I was telling the people, you know the donkey that Balaam had? The donkey had a revelation. It could see the angel that Balaam didn't see. So do you want to tell me that that donkey was so spiritual and so... And then that donkey, if it were some of you, it would have started a ministry. I've seen an angel, I must start a church. I mean, if starting a church depends on seeing an angel, then that donkey should have started a ministry. So tell your neighbor, don't just want to start a church because you saw an angel. Because the donkey did not start a church. Amen. So he says, I've been long with you and you don't know me. The Father who dwells in me is the one who is working. I know that. I know that. I know even as a teacher of the word, it's not, actually this has got nothing to do what I studied at school. Some of you know my credentials in secular world. I don't bring any of that here. I'm like Paul who says, I count all that as garbage for the sake of knowing Christ. So when I come here, I talk about what God reveals, what God shares with me, so which makes it a plain level playing field. Because then it's not like the educated then have got a better opportunity to know God better. Because if it depended on our education, then people who are not well educated would be behind. So if you look, actually people who struggle with God more are the people who are educated, because it's very difficult to unlearn what your mind has learned. Okay? So that's why Jesus said in Matthew 11, from 28, after he said, come unto me, he said, I thank God that he has revealed this plain truth to the simple. And he has hidden it from those who think they are wise. So that's why it's very difficult for people who think they are scientists and all that and wise and learned. It's tricky for them to accept Jesus. They reason it out. But the simple, take it simple. And I have chosen to be among the simple. Tell your neighbor, I've chosen to be among the simple. So that I may not miss the workings of God. Verse 11, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than this will he do, because I go to my Father. You see now. So he says, I am in the Father, but the Father is working through me. But when I go to the Father, my works will not stop. Those who believe in me will continue to do the works that I'm doing and even greater works. Tell your neighbor, Jesus was talking about you here. Or maybe first ask them, do you believe? Okay, so if you believe, let's read verse 12 again for you. Most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than this will he do, because I'm going to the Father. So he's saying, I'm coming and dwelling in you and continue to do my work through you. That's why he says, when I go, I will ask the Father, and he will give the Holy Spirit another comforter who will dwell in you and continue to work my works in you. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. You see, now he's bringing in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So if you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit dwells in you and he is with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I'm in my Father and you are in me and I in you. I like that verse 20. Look at, how do we say it? Yeah. I'm well resourced. Because he says, Jesus is in the Father, and I am in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. So do you see that even in what I do, it's not man-made, because it's Jesus in me doing his works. Amen? That's why it would be easy for any child of God to be used by God when you are available. You don't have to be a pastor to be used by God. Because he didn't say pastors will do the works and greater works. He said those who believe in me. Amen? So if you believe, you can do exploits for your God if you know your God. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved of my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Now I want you to look at the following words. And we, when Jesus said we, who did he mean? It's who, he and who? He and the Father. We will come to him and do what? Huh? And make our home with him. Do you know who's in me? Huh? Amen. Jesus is in me. Amen. Even for you as a child of God, Jesus is in you. When the Holy Spirit is in you, God is in you, Jesus is in you. Amen. So it's a different way of thinking. Because sometimes people will say, who do you think you are? You're making yourself special. That's what they did to Jesus. When he said he was the Son of God, they said, you are just the son of a carpenter. Who do you think you are? But the anointed one dwells in me. Jesus is in me. And I know even the words that I speak, they are not my words, but his words. Amen? When we say we're going to pray for the sick, it's not me, it's the Lord himself touching his people. Amen? So he says, we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, if I'm aware that Jesus is in me, there are several things that I would be. Firstly, it will give me confidence that when I want to do something, I know it's Jesus doing them. Okay? But it will also make me live a holy life, because I can't afford with Jesus to still be going to those other places and do sinful things. Because when people sin, they think because people don't see them, they can sin. But they forget that Jesus lives in them. The Holy Spirit is in you. You see, the Holy Spirit is not like the regalia of a certain religion. There's a certain religion in Limpopo where they pride themselves in the regalia that they have. Okay? I didn't tell you which one, so if you know them, it's you. Did I mention any name here? Yeah. So you know them. It's not me. So when they are wearing that, they have to behave themselves. So if you do something wrong, they will say, I will take off this jacket and you will know me. It's because to them, their God is in the jacket. If they take off that jacket, now they are free to behave the way they want. Now, God for us, he made it very difficult. He came and dwelt inside. Now, how do I take him off? Huh? When you want to do your tricky things and you want to sin and it's at night and that, how do you leave the Holy Spirit behind, man? Huh? Those of you who are still sinning, tell me, how do you do it? How do you do it? Do you do it in daylight when the Holy Spirit sees you? Eh? So when we say the Holy Spirit is in me, there are advantages, but there is also check and balances. Because it means he's in me to help me do the works and everything, but he's also there and he knows everything I'm doing. You might hide it from the pastor. The pastor doesn't dwell in you. That's why you can hide it from the pastor. But the Holy Spirit is in you. And when you do those things, you are grieving him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He is there to help you. Amen. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, Mr. MJ, NKJV, JV. 2 Corinthians 6, 16. You will see that actually God lives in me. And that's not pride. You know that sometimes people think you are proud when you say, God lives in me. They'll start treating you like the son of a carpenter. Read for us 2 Corinthians 6, 16, New King James Version, Mr. MJ.
And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God.
Okay, let every one of you look to your neighbor and tell them you are the temple of the living God.
You are the temple of the living God.
Mm. Okay.
As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people.
Amen. I love this God who is intimate, whom I can relate to on a personal level. He is not the man upstairs. You've heard people saying that, isn't it? Yeah. To them, he is the man upstairs. To me, he is the Lord who dwells in me. He is my God. He is everywhere. He is omnipotent, omnipresent. He is Jehovah, Shammah. He is always there. Amen. Now, if he is in me and he says the works that he did, I will do also. He wants to use me here on earth to do his works. Amen? Actually, when I told some of you, I'm coming now about the building. You all believe that this building was too quick, isn't it? Yeah, because when I think it was in January sometime, when in my heart it came clear that we have to start building in February. And at that time, we didn't have enough money to build. But because the Lord told me to do it that way, we had to do it that way. Yeah, and in my mind, it wasn't making sense. Okay? I obeyed. Now, if you had told me in January this year that in September this year you will be having that building, my mind would not have fathomed it. Amen?
Amen?
But all that God did is only to tell us this is the year of supernatural growth. And then I studied, oh, actually, so when I inquired, I think there was another time we were praying, I told you, this first Sunday of the month when we pray, I also take it as an opportunity. When you pray, you must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So the one time, I wasn't praying about the church, but in one of the Sundays, I think I told you that the Lord just told me why this place had to be finished so quick. Because by the end of the year or by whatever time, we will be a number that would not have been contained here. Amen. So the building had to be accelerated. Amen. Because God has a plan. God has a purpose. And we are just his servants. We just align to what he wants to do. So that's why then I see it that as Jesus the Savior, instead of us just priding ourselves in the building. Do you know that it's the kingdom of God is much more than the building? The building is just an enabler. It's about souls. Amen. I can see this Yerste River place being claimed for Jesus, and you start seeing multitudes and multitudes of people filling that place. Amen. Because we are the people who know our God. We walk in alignment with Him. We are sensitive to Him when He guides us. And as we walk in His ways, He will continue to show Himself. He will continue to work through us. Amen. So, yeah, let me conclude. I'm going to, because I need to taper this down, because I want to give you a bit of time just to celebrate a bit, and we also need to welcome those that attended the class. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. And then John 14, 10 to 12. Yeah, we'll end with those two portions of scripture. Okay, now, the way Jesus was so effective on the earth is because He never wanted to walk and work on His own, independent of the Father. And if you also want to be effective in serving God, never for a moment think that you can work independent of the Father. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. If you want to make it simple, you must say no thing. Nothing is nothing, isn't it? You can do no thing without Jesus. John 5, 17 to 20, New King James Version. But Jesus answered and said to them, my Father has been working until now, and I've been working. So as long as the Father is working, I'm working. Therefore, the Jews set all the more to kill Him, because He not only broke the Sabbath, but He also said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. You see now the people who think, who do you think you are? They did it to Jesus. And said, you're making yourself equal with God. You are just a mere man. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all the things that He Himself does, and He will show Him greater works than this, that you may marvel. So as long as I know that in what I do, it is the Father in me doing His works. Okay? Galatians 2:21 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I like it when, I like the version that says, I live by the faith of. I think the King James says that. The other translation that says, I live by the faith in the Son of God, but I like to live by the faith of Christ. I want to live, imagine I living using the faith of Jesus. Yeah, I think it's there in, we can read it. I will do in the old King James. It was there the last time I saw it, and I believe it is still there. Verse 20, Galatians 3. Yeah, it's still there. It's the good thing with the Word of God is that it remains. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So when you are crucified, actually, you are supposed to be dead. That's what he's saying. He says, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives where? In me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Look at the next word. Of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I have the faith of Christ. Tell your neighbor, I have the faith of Christ. I have a mountain moving faith in me. Amen. That when I decree things, things happen. Amen. Because I am a child of God, and God dwells in me, and He does His works through me. He uses me. He uses you. He uses us. So even when we are saying we're going out in the community, I think in November we're going to have our outreach, and He wants to use you, all of us. Even before that November, when you go home, invite your relatives, invite other people. God is using all of us. I remember the time when the Samaritan woman, the very first day that she came to Jesus, she did something very great, very amazing. So she came to Jesus, and when Jesus talked with her, he said, I can't leave this just for myself only. I must go and call all my people. Then she went into the city and invited all the people from the city, and they came in their numbers to listen to Jesus. So sometimes you don't have to preach to them, just invite them to church. Amen? When you invite them, they will come and hear the Lord Himself speaking with them. Let's conclude with John 14. 10 to 12, Mr. MJ, Amplified Classic. John 14, 10 to 12.
Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord. But the Father who lives continually in me does His works, His own miracles, deeds of power.
So He says, the Father who lives continually in me. Tell your neighbor, the Father lives in me. And He continues to work through me. This will make us very, very aligned to the gospel, because some of the things that you were doing is definitely not Jesus. So it means we have to start checking, okay, the way we do things. But also then we can allow the Lord to use us, and He can use us mightily. Because verse 12, He says, I assure you, if anyone steadfastly believe in me, he himself will be able to do the things I do, even greater works than these, because I go to the Father, like we read earlier. So it means if the Lord is living in me, He wants to manifest Himself through me. Amen. So we can stand up and thank God for the word that we've heard. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.